know, I've noticed a theme the last few weeks. Pastor Zeph was hitting on it a little bit as well, that, you know what, it's time for the church to go on offense. You know, to stop simply only playing defense, but to go on offense. To go on offense and sharing our faith, but also, we talked about it last week, going on offense to where we're not just defending against the enemy stealing something from us. We go back and we take back what he stole from us to begin with. I think of it, an old song, popular when I was a teenager. I went to the enemy's camp and I took back what he stole from me. You know, it's time for us to go into the enemy's camp and to take back what he stole from us. And say, you know what? You took my joy. You took my peace. But I'm taking that back by placing my faith in Jesus. By placing my hope in Jesus. I'm no longer going to act like I'm the victim. I'm no longer going to feel sorry for myself. Instead, I'm going to stand on Jesus as my firm foundation. He's my hope. He's my source. He's my peace. And Satan, you can't have me any longer. I belong to the Lord. I'm a child of God. And so I'm not living this way anymore. You do not have the victory over me, Satan. You took this from me, but I'm taking it back. So I challenge you, make today the day of declaration. This holiday season, make it a season of declaration to where I am taking back what the enemy stole from me, and I'm standing on Jesus as my firm foundation because he is everything that I need. You know, this holiday season, we're going to light the Advent candles, just something special. And with that, you know, we'll talk about love and joy and peace. And again, all of that comes through Christ alone. So let Christ be your anchor through this holiday season and really for every day. Amen? Amen. All right. Well, we're continuing on. We're moving through our series of Acts, and we're making some progress. We are in Acts chapter 6 today. So last week, we were in Acts chapter 5. And again, just as a reminder, we were talking about the importance of keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. It's so easy to get distracted by the things of the world. It's so easy to get focused on just what we're going through or what we're dealing with. But in the midst of it all, we need to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. So we looked at the disciples' story and how they fixed their eyes on Jesus. We learned from them as well. And there are two areas of emphasis that we focused on, two ways that we learn how to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. And the first one was to be committed in our witness. When you're committed in your witness, again, you're going on offense with your faith. In other words, you're not ashamed of your faith. You're not afraid to share that you have placed your faith in Jesus because you understand that's part of your mission. You've been commissioned by Christ himself. And so to keep your eyes on Jesus means we keep our eyes on the mission that he's placed in front of us, that we're committed to our witness. You also keep your eyes on Jesus when you're connected in your suffering. And what that is, it just is a reminder to us that when we suffer, we remember that our suffering connects us to Christ. Christ also suffered. Christ also went through it. Christ also endured. So whenever we're going through it, we can remember that Christ also went through it. And so we can begin to relate to him and his suffering as he walked among us. So we don't lose heart when we go through our troubles. In fact, we even learn to appreciate our troubles. We even learn to rejoice in the midst of our troubles. How in the world could we do that? Because we know that God can use anything. for his purposes and glory. God can use anything, even the worst of circumstances. Even the things where we're like, I don't see any good in that. God can use and repurpose those things for his glory. Those things including, and most especially, our trials, our hardships. This week we're moving on to Acts chapter 6, so if you want to open up your Bibles there, that's where we'll be this morning, verses 1 through 7. As you're turning there, as you're getting ready, most of y'all are learning already with me that as I talk on Sunday morning, I'm going to preach from the Word. You're probably going to hear about my family. You're always going to hear about football. I'm sorry. Just is what it is. So I talked about football a little bit last week and want to bring that into today as well. So anyway, I've seen lots and lots of football games. Probably way too many football games. Probably not as many football games as my wife has seen Star Trek episodes. But I've seen a lot, probably hundreds of football games. I've seen some extraordinary games, some amazing comebacks. I've watched some really good football teams. I've also witnessed some bad football teams. But you know what I've discovered over these years? That all of these football teams that win consistently, they have something in common. You want to know what that is? It's that they play complementary football. All right, I'm a Buffalo Bills fan. The coach talks about that all the time. We got to play complementary football. Exactly, Emily. See, Emily's ready. You see, football consists of three main units or three teams within a team. You have offense, defense, and special teams. That's not too different from a little bit of what I talked about last week. But the offense's job is to take care of the football and score points, right? Going offense. The defense's job is to take the football away from their opponent and to keep their opponent from scoring points. The job of the special teams is primarily to kick and to return kicks and to prevent the other team from returning big kickoffs. Now, the team plays complementary football when each unit knows and performs their role, right? So when everybody performs their role and they do it with excellence, then that's when the team excels. Everybody does their job. Again, I'm a big Buckeye fan. Yesterday, a freshman running back fumbled the ball on the one-yard line. The coach said, well, the kid came to the sideline, he said, do your job. You know, we all have a job. We all have a role. We've got to know our role, and we've got to perform our role. Okay? It works the same way, again, in the church. When everybody knows their role, when everybody performs their role with excellence and is committed to that role, that's when we grow. That's when the kingdom of God grows. So my goal this morning is to clarify our roles, to communicate what are our roles within the church so that we can, as a church, play complementary football, so that we can each do our part. We can each do our part as a service to the Lord to the best of our ability with excellence, and so that we can grow, so that the kingdom of God can grow. So again, we're going to be in Acts chapter 6 this morning. But before we look at these verses, I want to go ahead and give you the three main roles that I want to talk about throughout the message. So look at this as right now I'm planting the seeds, so throughout the message I can water the seeds, so by the end hopefully you're going to be like, all right, I get it. All right, it's taking root. So here are the three main roles that I want to highlight based off of this passage this morning. Here's what you need to know, all right? So a pastor has got a pastor, a preacher's got to preach, and the people got to serve. Pastor's got a pastor, preacher's got to preach, the people got to serve. All right, so go ahead. Pastor's got a pastor, a preacher's got to preach, and the people got to serve. All right, say it with me. A pastor's got a pastor, a preacher's got to preach, the people got to serve. Here we go.
A pastor's got to pastor. A preacher's got to preach. The people got to serve. Come on, I can't hear you. A pastor's got to pastor. A preacher's got to preach. The people got to serve. All right. You got that? You're going to be saying that in your sleep. Pastor's got to pastor. Preacher's got to preach. The people got to. I've been saying that in my head all week. It's just kind of catchy. Now that you know the rules, let's dive into the message. We'll dissect this a little bit more this morning. So Acts chapter 6, beginning verse 1, as the believers rapidly multiplied, there were rumblings of discontent. There were people in the church who were discontent. There were people in the church grumbling, complaining. Can you believe that? Like, you would never do that, right? Why is there laughing? All right, okay. There were rumblings of discontent. The Greek-speaking believers complained about the Hebrew-speaking believers, saying that their widows were being discriminated against in the daily distribution of food. So the 12 called a meeting of all the believers. All right, so let's pause for just a moment right here. Already within the first few verses of this chapter, we're introduced to our first point, or our first role, that a pastor has got to pastor. Now, sometimes this is an act of clear calling, pastoring. Sometimes it's just what the situation calls for. And so in this particular case, the apostles were having to put on their pastoral hats because there was a little bit of conflict brewing in the church. And so the conflict meant that the leaders had to lead in this situation. And so let's dive into the background a little bit, figure out what's going on in this passage. So as we already learned in our study of Acts, the church is like exploding. Like, there are estimates based off of what we read in Scripture. There are some concrete numbers that were given. Others were told like the crowds or multitudes. But at this point, there's probably anywhere between 10 and 20,000 believers who have been added to the church within months, all within the area of Jerusalem. So that's like a mega church sprouting up just overnight. It's crazy. But as it did this, the apostles essentially had to serve as the very first pastors of the early church. Think about it. They had led all these people to Jesus. Now they were trying to figure out how to disciple them, how to help them grow in their faith. And as you can imagine, that had to have been a pretty extraordinary task. It would have had to take on a lot of coordination, a lot of organization. And the disciples hadn't really gone to Bible college. They didn't know all this. You know, they just walk with Jesus. They're like, okay, Jesus added, what do we do here? In fact, I wasn't even taught all this stuff in Bible college, right? But they were trying to figure out, they were trying to navigate all of these crowds of people to be able to pastor them, to disciple them, to help them grow. One of the first things they decided to do is that they would start meeting together. And so they would meet daily in the temple courts for kind of large gatherings. They would meet in homes for smaller gatherings. And these meetings gave them the opportunity to teach, which was their main form of discipleship. To teach them. Now, in addition to discipleship, in addition to the general oversight of this new upcoming church, the apostles also directed the ministry of the church. Again, church, capital C, meaning all believers. It wasn't like the Jerusalem church. Like, this is Jerusalem Assembly of God. This is Jerusalem Baptist Church. When I'm talking about church, I'm talking about the community of believers. So they were trying to lead this community of believers, but they were also directing the ministry that would take place through this community of believers. And one of those ministries was the daily distribution of food to the widows. Now, it was estimated that there were probably at least several hundred widows who would need assistance from the church every single day. Again, they didn't have all these community programs. A lot of times, the temple would distribute food. There would be distribution of food through the temple, but there's some belief with scholars that once some of these widows were placing their faith in Christ, the temple's like, okay, y'all are Jesus followers, and so you take care of your own Jesus followers. But There's this added ministry that's really having to be taken care of every single day. So you just add that to the growing plate, no pun intended, you know, dealing with food. But you add it to this growing plate of what's the disciples are having to do as far as pastoral leadership and pastoral responsibility. Again, their role really by necessity with the early church was that they were having to pastor all of these new believers. Now, ultimately, the goal was for the disciples to kind of pastor pastors, where they would raise up local leaders to take care of the local church so that they could continue to spread the gospel and advance the gospel forward. But even still, as long as they were living, the apostles still maintained certain elements of pastoral ministry, things like clarifying the doctrine, like preaching and teaching, being devoted to prayer, providing overall leadership for the capital C church. Okay, there were always going to be elements of pastoral ministry that the disciples would have to perform. After all, pastor's got a pastor. So that's pretty much how God designed it. But with that being said, one of the lessons that the disciples really kind of learned early on is that pastoring doesn't mean doing everything. You know, pastors are not meant to be the superheroes to where they're going doing a million things all at once. That was not the goal. The disciples learned that, you know what, there's 12 of us, but we can only do so much. They learned that the pastor can't do everything. For instance, just because a pastor is called to direct the ministry of the church doesn't mean that he should be doing all the ministry by himself, right? If he tries, things or people ultimately fall through the cracks. I've learned that just in my pastoral ministry. The busier I get, the easier it is for things and people to fall through the cracks. It's just the nature of the role or anything in life. If we get spread too thin, we can't do everything because, you know what, you're only one person. I'm only one person. We're limited in our humanity and what we're able to do by ourselves. So the disciples are learning as they're getting spread so thin, some things are falling through the cracks. In this case, the Greek-speaking believers complained that their widows were being slighted in the daily distribution of food. This probably wasn't an intentional thing. It wasn't like, okay, we don't like you people, you're less important. It was more than likely just an oversight. But it was still happening. It was still occurring. It was still a problem that needed dealt with. So the situation brought with it a healthy tension. It's one of my favorite phrases in pastoral ministry, healthy tension. I use that a lot. So what is a healthy tension? So healthy tension is a growing pain that needs to be worked through so that we can continue to grow more. That's what healthy tension is. It doesn't mean a conflict and I hate you and all of this and I'm going to avoid you. No, a healthy tension is a growing pain that needs to be worked through so that more growth could happen. That's what they were experiencing. The church was exploding, and so they were experiencing this growing pain, and they learned that things couldn't continue going this way in order for the church to continue to expand. So through this healthy tension, the disciples were forced to rediscover what their primary role was. What was their primary? Let's read again Acts 6, 1 through 2. Again, as the believers rapidly multiplied, there were rumblings of discontent. The Greek-speaking believers complained about the Hebrew-speaking believers, saying that their widows were being discriminated against in the daily distribution of food. So the 12 called a meeting of all the believers, and they said this: we apostles should spend our time teaching the word of God, not running a food program. Now, you might fairly ask, what's wrong with running a food program? Answer, nothing. The food program was good. The food program was necessary. But the food program was never meant to be the apostles' primary responsibility. As quote-unquote pastors of the very early church, Their role was to get the structure in place, but it was not their role to be the ones doing all of that ministry themselves. On the contrary, they acknowledged that their primary role was to teach the word. That was their primary. Their primary role was to teach the word. That was their directive. That was their calling. That's what Jesus had called them to do. That's what the Holy Spirit had filled them to do. And so when they assessed all that was going on, they ultimately concluded that they were called to be preachers. And when a preacher is called, a preacher's got to preach, right? Pastor's got to pastor. Preacher's got to preach. Again, they mentioned that in verse 4. They said, let's get somebody else to hand out the food. Then we apostles can spend our time doing our primary thing. What's our primary thing? It's to be in prayer and to teach the word. Now understand, all believers are called to prayer, right? All believers are called to study the word. All believers are called to share our faith. But some are called specifically to teach and preach the word. That was, again, the case with the apostles. Again, that's what Jesus had prepared them to do. That's what the Holy Spirit had filled them to do. That was their role for the disciples. That was their primary. But what happened was the disciples were being hindered from their primary in order to do something that was supplementary. You follow me so far? They were getting pulled away from their primary to do something that was supplementary. Look at it like this. It's kind of the difference between good and great. The disciples running a food program, it was a good Christian thing to do, right? It provided a valuable service. It met a need. But the kingdom of God would not expand. It would not multiply to the extent that God had intended if the apostles spent all their time waiting on tables. It's kind of like a professional driver giving the responsibility to teach people how to wash cars. Now, is it a good life skill to show them how to wash cars? Yeah. But there's so much more that he could be teaching them. You have a master at driving who's not teaching driving. You see, it's important for good people to be in the right roles. The right people have to be in the right roles. Having good people in the wrong roles limits the opportunity for growth. That's why it's so important to have the right peeps in the right seats. You got to have the right peeps in the right seats so that you can continue to grow, so that the kingdom of God can continue to grow. The disciples, in their case, they were the right people, but they were in the wrong seats. They were in the wrong seats. That's because, again, a coach has got to coach, a chef has got to cook, a singer has got to sing, a preacher has got to preach. 1 Corinthians 12, the Apostle Paul talks about this, and he talks about our different roles. I want to read to you just a little bit from that. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 and 13, the human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one body, so it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, some are Gentiles, some are slaves, some are free, but we have all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. Verse 27, all of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. Here are some of the parts that God has appointed for the church. First are apostles, second are prophets, third are teachers. Then those who do miracles, those who have the gift of healing, those who can help others, those who have the gift of leadership, and those who speak in unknown languages. Now, are we all apostles? Are we all prophets? Are we all teachers? Do we all have the power to do miracles? Do we all have the gift of healing? Do we all have the ability to speak in unknown languages? Do we all have the ability to interpret unknown languages? Of course not. So you should earnestly desire then the most helpful gifts. What Paul was saying in this passage is that the Holy Spirit gives each believer a gift for the purpose of them using that gift. And when he gives you a gift, he is essentially assigning you a role. Here is your gift, so fulfill your role. Know your role. Know your role. Paul concluded here by telling the believers to desire the most helpful gifts. Okay, what are the most helpful gifts? Very simply, the most helpful gifts are the ones that help the church play complementary football. When everybody brings their own gifts to the table, when everybody fulfills their role, then side by side, hand in hand, we accomplish what the Lord has accomplished us to do together. You know, I served under Pastor Joe for 14 years, and one of his favorite phrases was, if two of us are doing the same job, one of us isn't necessary. We're not meant to all be doing the exact same thing. God hasn't made us all the exact same way. The Holy Spirit hasn't given us all the exact same gift. Why? Because we're different parts of the body meant to complement each other well. So that's how we grow as individuals. That's how we grow the kingdom of God as well. Here at the Cross, in order for you to play complementary football, you got to know your role. I got to know mine as well. Okay, my role is to serve as both pastor and preacher. Pastor's got to pastor, preacher's got to preach. Okay, what that means is, as the pastor, my role is to cast vision and direction for the church. It's to make sure that we're abiding by sound doctrine, that we're good stewards of the Word of God. It's to provide leadership for our team with the assistance of the elders to manage the business of the church. Additionally, I have to guide the ministries of the church and be a godly example. You know, my role is not as pastor. It's not to do every ministry or to be at everything. It's not. In fact, I don't think the women want me at all their Bible studies and all their brunches. Maybe I'll throw on a wig and show up to the next one. My role as the preacher is to study and to know the Word of God. It's to communicate the gospel so that the lost can come into salvation through Jesus. It's to clearly explain the Scriptures in a way that helps the body of Christ grow. Those are my roles. There are many other things that are good. There are many other things that I could be doing. But to fill my time with things that are supplementary will only take away from my primary. And not only does that affect my health, that affects the health of the church. Learned that already. Now, there are times where we all have some supplementary things, right? But if the supplementary becomes our primary, then we miss out on what the Lord has called us to do. And we're not nearly as effective as he has designed us to be. We see that in the early church. See, each one of us have to understand we have a role to play. But again, before we can be effective in that role, we got to know what our role is. And part of understanding that role is also to know our own limitations. Know your limitations. That's something the disciples really had to discover kind of the hard way. It took being stretched too thin for them to realize that they had a role, but that role was not to do every role. They couldn't do it. Same thing goes for the church. We all have a role. You have a role, but you can't do everything. You have limitations. You know, one of the common things in the church world has been, well, 20% of the people do 80% of the work. You know, one of the reasons why I'm very intentional about new ministries or new startups that we have within the church is because often what we're doing, we're adding these new ministries, but then these same people who are involved in all these other ministries are the ones that get swallowed up by the new ministries, and then they get spread so thin. We're not meant to function that way. This week for me was a good reminder of my limitations. It was one of those weeks where, you know, you're just tired. You know, long days, late nights, sometimes not great sleep. waking up one morning. I woke up at 4 o'clock in the morning after just being tired and struggling with a little bit of sickness this week. But it was a reminder for me that I'm limited. Like, a lot of my tasks and responsibilities for this week had to do with my primary roles. It had to do with me being a pastor, with me being a preacher. But even still, after all that, I was tired. I'm like, you know what? If I was doing all these other supplementary things too, I would have nothing left to give. What if, and it made me think, what if I, after this long, tiring, busy week, what if I had to do everything else? What if I had to come back to the church and clean the church? Fortunately, I don't have to, because Jeff and Carolyn cleaned the church. There you are, you moved on me. Thank you. What if I had to lead the worship rehearsal Wednesday night? It's a long, early week. You know what? Fortunately, I didn't have to, because Becky and her team led worship. We're here this morning. What if I had to prepare the lesson for kids' ministry on Sunday morning? I don't have to, because Sue and Tori and Sherry and their team, they do that. Youth ministry, Ashton and Chloe do that. What if I had to do all the maintenance of the church? Oh, yeah, I don't think you want that. Fortunately, I don't have to, because Chris and Mike and a couple other gentlemen from the church do maintenance. What if I had to plan all the women's and the men's meetings and gatherings, their Bible studies? Fortunately, I don't have to, because Bunny and Michelle, Jeff and Paul Rigsby, they take care of that. What if I had to serve the coffee in the holy grounds? I already run around like crazy on Sunday morning, and you don't want a non-coffee drinker serving you coffee, I'm just saying. You don't know what you're going to get. You know, my grandma, how she made her coffee, one, she had two things. One, she had to see through it. Two, it had to last for like 2 or 3 days, that one cup. She just keep putting it back in the microwave. So that's how I'll serve you coffee. How's that sound? Are you a real coffee drinker? You're like, no thanks. Stay away from my coffee. Fortunately, I don't have to. Sarah, John, Danita, Dennis, and Jill, they serve coffee. They're going to serve you a lot better coffee than I will. What if I had to run the Sunday live stream and run into the sound booth and then come back and preach and then run back into the sound booth? I don't have to do that because of Drew and Tim and David, Jerry doing the sound. Jerry's been here almost every Sunday for what, 30 years, Jerry? Running our sound. Thank you. Thank you. On it and on the list goes. If I had to do all that, I'd be resigning as your pastor, or I'd be dead. The Lord didn't intend for one person to do everything, but for us to each contribute as part of the family. That's what we do. We contribute as part of the families. I'm so thankful that God designed it that way. I'm so thankful that every one of us has a role. And you know what? That includes you. Pastor's got to pastor. Preacher's got to preach. But the people got to serve, right? That's scriptural. You know what? It's having an understanding of these roles that helped the early church continue to grow. It's because everybody knew their role and were able to function within that role that the church could continue to grow. Let's go back to our passage, Acts chapter 6, verse 3. The apostles said, "Brothers, select 7 men who are well-respected and are full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. We will give them this responsibility to distribute food." So everyone liked the idea, and they chose the following: Stephen, a man full of faith in the Holy Spirit; Philip, Procurus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, Nicholas of Antioch, an earlier convert to the Jewish faith. And these seven were presented to the apostles, who prayed for them as they laid hands on them. So God's message, look what happened here. So God's message continued to spread. And the number of believers greatly increased in Jerusalem, and many of the Jewish priests were converted too. There is that healthy tension that if they stayed right where they were and the apostles tried to do everything, the church was no longer going to grow. If anything, it was going to decrease. But when the disciples focused on their primary, and these seven individuals came and they focused on this new task, which would be their primary, then all of a sudden the church regained its momentum and continued to grow. The kingdom of God continued to grow. Do you realize that these seven men who took care of the food program were just as responsible for the health and the growth of the church as the apostles? How is that possible? These seven, they weren't with Jesus the same way that the disciples were with Jesus. They didn't perform all of the miracles. They didn't preach and teach to the crowd. So how were they as important? You know what? It's because when the apostles did their part, and these seven men came and did their part, then they were able to play complimentary football. And the church was able to grow, was able to multiply, because one person can't do everything. A handful of people can't do everything. But when everybody does something, when everybody knows their role, when everybody does their primary, then all of a sudden the church functions beautifully. See, the point is this: for everyone to succeed, it takes everyone. It takes everyone. Think of it like this, okay? When we fulfill our roles, guess what? We become fulfilled. You know, Becky will share that story with individuals when she was a teenager. You know, her pastor asked when she was going through dry season, okay, how are you serving? I'm not. Okay, find a place to serve, because the way the Lord works, the more we give, the more that we receive. That's Christianity at the foundation. The more we give, the more we receive. When we fulfill our roles, we become fulfilled. But when we don't fulfill our roles, we leave a hole that needs filled. If you're scheduled for to greet or kids ministry or whatever, and you don't show up, guess what? There's a hole. There's a hole. Because that was your primary role. And if you're not fulfilling your primary role, somebody's got to fill it. We were talking about this in our staff this week. We all have to realize that things don't just happen. Somebody has to do them, right? Things don't just happen. Somebody has to do them. You know, Pastor Joe used to teach us, okay, you see trash out in the parking lot, don't be like, well, yeah, Jeff and Carolyn will maybe get it. You see trash in park, do it. Pick it up. Throw it away. You see something that needs done that you can do, do it. Don't wait and hope and expect that somebody else will take care of it. Don't complain that something didn't get done. If you see a need, do it. That's something I'm trying to teach our kids. Tell them, leaders don't complain about problems, they fix them. Don't be a complainer, be a fixer. This is something that I had to work on with Pastor Keith. I would bring these things to Pastor Keith, and I realized, I told him, you know, Pastor Keith, I'm sorry. You know, I'm trying to do better, to where from now on I'm going to try to either fix the problem or present a solution and not just bring a problem. You know, now that I'm in that role, I'm like, I don't want to hear about all the problems. Tell me how we're going to work together and fix them. Tell them how you're going to take a hold of that and address it. Because we all have a role to play. We all have a role to play. When we fulfill our role, we end up becoming fulfilled. When we don't fulfill our roles, we just leave a hole that needs filled. Again, you'll hear me say it a lot, none of us can do everything, but all of us can do something. All of us can do something. What's your something? What's your role to play? Is it to lead a special needs class? To help in kids or youth ministry? To sing or play an instrument? To help in the tech booth? To lead a grief share program? To greet somebody at the door? Whatever it is, find your something. Find your something. At the cross, we make it really easy. We talked about this last week. This is why we do a Find Your Place at the Cross spotlight every third Sunday. We have an information kiosk out there right by the double doors. There are ministry applications. If you're interested in ministry that requires a background check, we ask that you just complete the ministry application and drop it right there in the box at that desk. There's a ministry interest form that lists all kinds of different ministries that you could get involved in. You can sign your name, choose three that you're interested in. We'll follow up with you. We'll help you get connected. We'll help you find your place. Again, when we each know our role, we perform our role with excellence, then we grow. That's how the kingdom of God grows. When you do your primary, I can focus on my primary. When I do my primary, you can focus on yours. I'm not called to come in and micromanage every little thing. I'm called to provide leadership, direction, guidance. But I don't have time to micromanage everything. I don't want to micromanage. So the Lord has called you to do something. Let's work together and let's pursue that. As I focus on my primary, you can focus on yours. As you focus on yours, I can focus on mine. And what happens is we all work together so that the kingdom of God can continue to grow. It's a beautiful thing. And that's what happened in Acts chapter 6. The disciples were trying to do everything. They soon realized that they couldn't. So they had to assess and determine what their primary was. And once they determined, okay, this is our primary, here's what we need to focus on, we need other people who will make serving food their primary. And so there were seven people who said, okay, that's me. I'll make that my primary. And then the church continued to grow. Let's do our part. What's your role? What's your role? What does that look like for you? How can we each do our part? Because when we do our part, it's when we grow. It's when the kingdom of God grows. Amen? Amen. Teresa, will you come? You bow your heads and close your eyes with me this morning. The message for today is very simple. Know your role, find your place. Know your role, find your place. Many of you here already know your role and already have your place. And if that's so, I just want to tell you this. Thank you. Thank you for what you do. What you do makes a difference, even if you're not in a position where everybody sees or notices. What you do matters. Because when you're not fulfilling a role, we're leaving a hole. When you're fulfilling your role, then you are fulfilling your blessing to the church as well. Find your role. Again, we made it easy for you. You can actually go to the website as well, thecross.life. We have a place for you to sign up for ministry. I realize sometimes we have seasons where we need to take a small season to refresh and to reset. If that's you, God bless you. Do it. Get restored, because if you're not healthy, when you're serving, it's not going to be healthy. You're not going to contribute to the health. But then, once you're renewed, let's get busy. Let's get busy. Let's work together. Serve together. Grow the kingdom of God together. This morning, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus, then the first and most important role for you is to become a part of the family of God. I'm not saying to be a part of the Cross Church. although that's definitely important, I'd encourage that, but to be part of the capital C church, to where you say, okay, I want to be a part of the family of God. I want to know and serve Jesus. I want to know and serve Jesus. So if you're here today and you do not yet have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, don't leave today without entering into that relationship. It's really simple. Here's how you do it. It starts with believing. It's believing that Jesus is the Son of God, that He died for your sins and rose again. And then you repent of those sins. You turn away from them and follow Jesus. Follow His teachings and example with your life. Saying, Jesus, I'm going to live for You instead of live for me. If you're here today, you've not yet made that decision, but today you want to enter into that relationship, will you simply raise your hand? Say, yep, that's me. That's me. That's where I'm at. I want to know my role. I want to enter into the family of God. If that's you, whether you're here or watching online, will you, in your own words, just pray a prayer of faith? Lord Jesus, I place my faith in You. Have my heart. Have my life. Have all of me. Take all of me, I pray. Take all of me, I pray. Church family, will you stand this morning? I'm going to invite Pastor Cam to come and close us out with a word of prayer. Cross family, I love you. I thank God for you. Pray that Christ will live in your hearts because of your faith. Pray that your lives will be strong in love. Be built in love. I pray that you'll have the power to understand the greatness of Christ's love, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep that love is. So with the wisdom of God the Father, the love of Jesus, the power of the Holy Spirit, let's know our role. Let's make a difference so that the kingdom of God can continue to grow. Amen.